How did I guess it was me yet again? That sounds normal. Do I need to repeat any of that? Oh, good. All right. Who is making our announcements this morning? Oh, there she is. God bless you. Come to the front here and speak out loud.
Good morning, everyone, on this beautiful Sunday morning. I'm Nancy Schmidt, and I'm just going to point out a few things in the bulletin from today. There's a puzzle in the narthex. If you want, it would be fun just to come by, spend a few minutes. If you're an introvert and your family member's an extrovert and they're busy chatting, come help and do a puzzle with us. It would be kind of fun. And also, next Sunday, if you're thinking about joining the church or you want to learn more about Mountain View, next Sunday, not today, but a week from today, you can have lunch with Pastor Steve and ask questions and get information and decide, make an informed decision if you'd like to join us. Also next Sunday, come a little bit early for the 10:30 service because we're going to do a hymn sing beforehand, and that's a real fun opportunity to be uplifted with music. And one last thing, the Crayons to Calculators backpack packing. And so we're going to pack 10,000 backpacks for children coming to school in the fall who don't have all the tools that they need to succeed in school. And so if you would like to help volunteer for a two-hour shift, see Cheryl Runyon. I saw Cheryl earlier. Where is she? Can you wave your hand? Where is she? Is she in here? Nope. Because I saw her a little bit ago. Okay. So Cheryl Runyon, her contact information's in the bulletin. See her if you'd like to help do that. That'd be a great family activity. All right. Thank you so much. We'll continue with our worship.
Would you stand and greet one another with the peace of Jesus Christ?
As loud as I can.
All right, we're back together now. Our call to worship is before us. If you would stand. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God. Within its citadels, God has proven a sure defense.
We have found your steadfast love, O God, in the midst of your temple.
As your name, O God, so your praise reaches the ends of the earth.
This is God, our God forever and ever. God will be our God forever.
Amen.
Thank you.
may be seated. And if all the children of Mountain View would come forward, you're going to help me welcome Emily Jane into our midst as a new member of Christ's body. And would the family come forward? All the parents and sponsors come forward as well for this sacrament, who are presenting her for holy baptism. Children, the first thing we do is we light this candle to give to the family. This is something that Emily Jane is going to have for the rest of her life to remember her baptism by. That's a tradition now at Mountain View. All right, Jan, you're with us right now. And Jan is special to this family. Jan has joined this couple in marriage 3 years ago, is that right? 3 years ago. And been welcomed into the family in so many wonderful ways. Testing, 1, 2, check. All right, Jan, I can hold that for you. All right.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. In the waters of baptism, we are reborn as children of God and inheritors of eternal life. All this is God's gift, offered to us without price. Without God having acted first, we would be unable to move toward God. The good news is that in Jesus Christ, God has acted to make salvation possible. What God offers us must be accepted in repentance and in faith. I present this child for holy baptism.
And what name is given this child?
Emily Jane Benton.
As parents and sponsors of this child, we ask on behalf of the whole church, do you reject all that is evil in this world, repent of your own sins, and accept the freedom and power that God gives you to resist evil in the world? If so, say, I do.
I do.
Do you confess Jesus Christ as your own Savior and put your whole trust in His grace and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church, which Christ has opened to all peoples? If so, say, I do.
I do.
Will you nurture Emily Jane Benson into Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, she may be guided to accept God's grace for herself, to profess her faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? If so, say, I will.
I will.
Do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If so, say, we do.
Now before you in your care?
We will, by the grace of God.
Let us pray. Eternal God, from the moving of your Spirit upon the waters of creation to the deliverance of your people through the flood and through the Red Sea, to the life of Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb, baptized by John, and anointed by your Spirit, you have poured out your Holy Spirit to bless his gift of water and those who receive it. May it clothe Emily Jane in the righteousness throughout her life, that being raised with Christ, she may share in his final victory. Through the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, amen.
All right. And I'd like to ask the children to help me. Would you come over on this side of me and put your hands up so you can help hold the baby up, okay? Grandpa, are you willing to surrender just for a minute, the baby? What name? Oh, she's taking him right out of his arms. What name is given this child?
Emily Jane Benson.
Emily Jane. Oh, it happens every time. It's because I need the children. Would you help? Touch the baby. from behind, here, right underneath. Hold her underneath so she's lifted up. And we have to get the water here. Will one of you help hold the water? How about you, buddy? Okay. All right. I'm going to reorganize here just a minute. Okay. I'm going to come over here. Now, all put your hands underneath so you can help hold her up. Children, I want you to help hold this baby. Can you help hold this baby? Oh, she's so heavy. Emily Jane, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. May God's holy love surround you and give you grace, strengthen you and love you. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, make room. Thanks. This is the newest member of the family of God, Emily Jane. What is your mind to her? We have a slide for that? We welcome you to, there you go. With God's help, we will so order our lives after the example of Christ that this child, surrounded by steadfast love, may be established in the faith and confirmed and strengthened in the way that leads to life eternal. Okay, I'll give you back to Grandpa. All right. Thank you, children. Thank you. Okay. God be with you. Grandpa told me this is the best job he's ever had. Thank you so much, children. Thank you. You may go back to playground, and to your seats. Gracious God, bless and surround this family with love and support, that they, knowing Christ's love through this congregation and the worldwide communion of Christians, may come to a great understanding of your love and purpose in their life. May they never feel alone with the burdens of parenthood. May they feel the strength and encouragement of their family and others, and love in Jesus Christ. Amen. That's just wonderful. 3-week-old baby. We come to that time, we share our joys and our concerns together, not the least of which is celebrating our country, and the 4th of July has come, and we celebrate all those who have been in service, all those who have kept our freedoms for us, and we honor them this past weekend. My brother came visiting from Japan. He lives there with his wife and 3 boys who are in junior high school and high school, and every 2 years they come, and those boys just keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Wonderful to spend time with them. What have you celebrated this week? Where have you felt the need for God's prayers? Yes, Joanne. Her dad's 101. And the really good news is that Joanne is not a day older. Who else? Sally, would you have your hand up?
We just celebrated the wedding of our
granddaughter. Granddaughter, a first wedding. Your first wedding of a granddaughter, I believe, is what I meant to say. Yes. Yes, my wife refers to me as her first husband after 37 years. Yes, ma'am.
This is something very special. My husband and I were in the Moorish part of Spain for some weeks, and we experienced what Mountain View does often. It's very ecumenic. And we have been in the mosques that were also cathedrals, that were temples, and where all the religions of the world at that time, from 900 to about 1200, were celebrating God and grace and love.
Celebrating God and grace and love in the Moorish parts of Spain, yes. Who else? What have you been praying about this week? Yes, Caroline. 10th great grandchild born. Congratulations. See what you started, and God's right there with you. 10th great grandchild. Who else? Yes.
So my brother, I'm holding a party for my brother here. He spent all the Friday at the ER, and it turns out he's doing okay. So.
All right.
I was, of course, there with him, but it was very stressful all the Friday.
Praise God for God's support. Her brother was in the ER all day Friday, but everything has turned out okay. God bless you. God bless you for your care. Who else? Yes. Travel mercies as she travels, and continue to hold Bert and Jean in your prayers. We do have a list of folks in the bulletin for us to consider as we pray. Don and Ginger Wisdom in healing love. Jean, as was just mentioned, struggling with breast cancer. Angela Lumpkin, Roberta Nally, Iona Alton, Mary Ellen Vivoda. Dulcie Harris has been added to the hospice care list, and prayers for Donnie Haig. We learned this week also that Richard Derryberry's father in Texas has had a pretty big stroke, so let's be mindful of them and surround them with our love and care. We covet your prayers for the leaders of Mountain View, who are meeting this coming Saturday for a leadership retreat, and ask you to pray for the future of Mountain View as we seek to grow our leaders and enhance our vision of what God wants for this place and for us as his children, and how we build a together community that cares and loves for everyone. Others, are you ready to go to God in prayer? Flu and cold season is past, so we can hold our hands together. Please find someone to hold hands with as we pray. Lord God, be with us in every moment of life, the high points and the low. Be with us when we bring our children for baptism, and walk with us on those sleepless nights. Care for us as we celebrate milestones, as we wait for the children to come home from a football game in high school. Help us, Lord, to know your love and grace on our wedding days, on our anniversaries, on our birthdays. But also be with us when our parents pass, when we struggle to know the direction of our life, when we seek your wisdom and will and way for our daily existence. Let our fears not weigh us down so heavily that we cannot share our burdens with you, O Christ. And may we together pray his prayer, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Please join with me. Stand.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me, this I know, as he loved so long ago, taking children on his knee, let them come to me. Yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me, the Bible tells me so. Loves me still today, walking with me all the way, as a friend to give light and love to all who live. Yeah.
You may be seated. And as we learned a couple of weeks ago, when asked, how are you? How is it with your soul? What do you say? I am blessed. I am blessed. And we are blessed. We're blessed to have special music today. That's just lovely. We're blessed to be in worship together to celebrate this baptism. We're blessed to be the community of faith that loves God no matter what. And we have been blessed to give our blessings to others, to share them. And as our ushers come forward to receive our tithes and our offerings, we remember that response. How are you? How are you? I am blessed. Your grace and your presence, O God, we pray into being. We ask your blessing upon our life. Lift the burdens from us and let us live with joy and openness and grace. Speak a word of grace to us and let us share our burdens with you. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, we thank you for all these givers through Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Shall we read the scripture?
Yes.
Okay. We're going to read the scripture this morning. It's taken from Matthew chapter 11, verses 20. And a man in green suspenders will read it for us. Welcome. Could say good morning.
Hi.
Say good morning.
Hi.
Right there, so
hi.
There we go. All right. Carry on, young man. What's it from?
It's from Matthew verses 25-30.
Go for it.
At that time, Jesus said, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent, and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you that are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." The word of God for the people of God.
Thank you, green suspenders. All right. Thank you, Wesley Ringers, for sharing with us a little reflective music. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. I'd like to talk a little bit today about our burdens and how we carry them around with us. and share with you a lengthy quote. It's about a paragraph from Dr. E. Stanley Jones in his book, Transformed by Thomas. He writes this, and I found myself convicted by its words and helped by them. Maybe you will too. He writes, "I am inwardly fashioned for faith and not for fear. Fear is not my native land, faith is. And so I am so made that worry and anxiety are sand in the gears of life, and faith is the oil. I live better by faith and confidence than by fear and doubt and anxiety. For in anxiety and worry, my being is gasping for breath. These are not my native air. Both in faith and in confidence, I breathe freely. These are my native air." Unquote. We don't know why worriers die sooner than non-worriers, but it's a fact. And in my simple mind, I think I know why it is. Why do worriers die sooner than non-worriers? Because we are inwardly constructed, nerve and tissue, brain cell and soul, for faith and not fear. God made us this way. And so to live by worry and anxiety is in fact against our nature. What would that be like? What would it be like to live in light of our faith? Without fears constantly getting in our way, without anxieties constantly making us struggle. I've heard plenty of people talk about this in churches, in articles, in interviews, but only the Lord Jesus Christ offers us this promise with any likelihood of success. He says, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Not acquiring more stuff, not more hard work, not organized religion. Relax. We can't call the United Methodist Church an organized religion, so we're okay here. I knew that the United Methodist Church is not an organized religion when I went to annual conference this year, and in the parking lot of the hotel, more than 25% of all the cars are parked crooked. But come to Jesus Christ, and the purpose, the rest, the freedom, the fulfillment that you and I crave will finally be ours. That's the promise. The Son of God who knows the Father and the Father's will and way, Jesus, the Anointed One, promises us this. By accepting Him into our life, we shall find our lives unburdened. We shall discover rest for our weary souls. Right there in black and white, not in the fine print, up front. The Lord in these passages declares that it is attainable, it is real, it is a promise from the Creator of the universe. Turn to God and God can turn to you. But maybe you, like I, have found that that promise of rest is particularly hard to realize in our everyday life. I've seen glimpses of peace here and there. I've seen moments of respite. But maybe, like me, you've questioned just how light and easy Jesus' yoke really is. It can be hard for us to accept the help that God has to offer. At one time or another, I dare say that we've all doubted Jesus is telling the truth about his peace. For we feel overburdened much of the time and have anything than the rest that we desire. But maybe it's the way we wear his yoke, his opportunities, which is our problem. Maybe it is the way we carry about our burdens and hold them tight is our difficulty. This word, "my yoke is easy," comes in its root from the Greek, which speaks directly to tailor-making yokes for particular individual beasts of burden in the field. And so when a yoke is well-fitted, it was said to be easy. My yoke is easy. They make the burden light, well-fitted is easier to bear. The yoke doesn't rub or chafe. It balances the weight on the hips and shoulders like a good frame pack will, right? I can't do 60 pounds on my shoulders, but I can do maybe 50 on my hips, right? To carry the weight like a good frame pack, not painfully on the back, so that even a heavy load is manageable. The yoke Jesus invites us to take is one that is made exactly to fit our hearts and our lives. It understands our strengths and our weaknesses. The load he helps us to wear doesn't rub or cause us to develop sore spirits because it's made specifically for us. And most remarkably, the yoke that Christ makes for us, he does not force us to bear. It is completely voluntary to decide whether we are ready to take up Christ's yoke. But it's easy because it's made exactly to fit. Perhaps most remarkably, the yoke which Jesus invites us to take up is designed not for one, but for two. In the heat of toil and the burden of the day, our yoke partner is none other than Christ Jesus himself. What we insist on taking on for ourselves is not meant to be borne by ourselves, but with the Lord's help along the way. Fascinating, isn't it? We have so much that we take up on our own selves. We hold tight to the burdens that we're familiar with. We struggle to know how to carry such a load, and yet Christ says that his yoke is easy, well-fitted, suited to us individually, and his burden is light because he will help us carry it. Running throughout all of the Old Testament from the beginning to the end is the well-met and repeated declaration that ours is a burden-bearing Christ. Ours is a burden-bearing Christ that will help cut in half the effort and work it takes to carry our burdens along with us. He's not just the Lord on whom we pile our worries, our problems, and our complaints like a mule. No. Jesus is the one who actually solicits our sorrows. He is the one who seeks out our sufferings. He is the one who walks life's paths alongside of us and helps us to bear the burdens that we take on for ourselves. But we have to make that decision to allow Christ to help us with the things that weigh us down. Of course, being finite human beings, we never have all of the information we need to make a complete decision. So learning to trust God for our perspective goes a long way to cutting our burdens loose. And yet it's so hard for us to take up Jesus' yoke, to cut our burdens loose, because we first must be freed from our own oppressive patterns of thinking, our own repeated nature, and gain some perspective on life. I believe the single biggest obstacle to our laying aside our personal burdens is this: we simply lack the perspective that we need. And sometimes we like to keep hold of our burdens because at least these are familiar to us. Now, as pastor, I hear of other people's burdens, but none of them seem to overwhelm me near as easily as my own. Our stubborn nature, our fears, our narrow vision freezes us in place. So it's awfully difficult for us to turn loose what we know so well. But Jesus' yoke is easy and his burden is light. And finally, there finally comes a time when a person's experience catches up with them and their drive for faith, plus their recognition of God's divine presence, weighs in to make the difference. And here a decision has to be made, for or against Christ. Will I go through this life all by my lonesome, thinking I have to carry these weights by myself, or am I ready and prepared to turn loose with what is so familiar to me and let God help me on my way? Here at the forge of our existence, a choice is to be made as to what burdens we will carry and what ones we will leave at the altar and at the cross, what we will share with the Lord. Modern Christian writer Rollo May says, "It's an old, ironic habit of human beings that we run the faster when we've lost our way." Now, that is a refrigerator magnet if I ever heard one. Sometimes we cut these flags off the top of the bullet and we put them on our refrigerator. We run the faster when we've lost our way. I think that describes us perfectly as human beings, especially in our culture. Our pace, our frenzy, our frenetic lifestyles, we run so hard, we worry so much, we work so diligently, we scrape together a living to meet our daily needs, and then we savor so little of it. We rest so poorly. We make little time to pray. And we suffer for it. I don't remember who told me this, but I am reminded of it more frequently than I'd like to admit. If you have time to worry, then you have plenty of time to pray. Is this what God means by the American dream? Is this what we're pursuing, this frenetic behavior, this addiction to electronics, this struggle? I wonder if the God of the universe has bigger plans for us than this. I was reminded this week in preparing Emily Jane's parents for holy baptism that you and I are invited into a relationship which is part of our Judeo-Christian roots called responsa. This means that we are invited into a conversation with the creator of the universe. Think how remarkable that is. You wake up on an early morning and your mind is racing ahead of what needs to happen that day, and you say, "Good morning, God," and God says, "Good morning, Steve," or whatever your name happens to be that morning. "God, what's going to happen today?" "I don't know, Steve. What are you going to make happen today?" "Lord, can I just stay here for a few more whiles?" "Well, okay, but you're going to have to get up at some point in time." "God, what have you got planned for us?" And the Lord says, "Come and see." Or meep meep. And then I remembered that I am inwardly fashioned for faith and not fear. Faith is my native land. Faith is not fear. Faith is my native air. Fear is a source of confusion and wasted energy. I remember that you and I are inwardly constructed in nerve and tissue and brain cell and soul. Faith and not fear is what we're made for. How do we gain God's perspective in the midst of playing a meaningful role in this world? How do we grow in Christ while simplifying our burdensome lives? What is the solution to our taking on way too much of which is meant to be a shared endeavor with the Lord? Over the last few years, there have been challenges and struggles at Mountain View. There have been challenges and struggles in our United Methodist Church. Challenges and struggles of how things will turn out and the way we'll be as a denomination. And I don't have answers. My crystal ball got broken in the move. But it caused some of us to wonder what the future will bring. And this month, few things have come sharply into focus for me than these. I don't have the power to prevent any of these things from changing. Such a discovery. I can't shield anyone from the consequences of the decisions that are before us. Really? The people and the community that I love and have poured myself into for 4 decades now and longer, and there's not a thing I can do to keep the future from unfolding. That might be a really good thing, Steve. And I don't have to face this myself. We are fashioned for faith and not fear. We must look to the future with hope in Christ and trust that God is going to sort us out, because guess what? Ain't nobody else up to the job. Richard Foster, speaker on issues of Christian spiritual discipline as an avenue to create a more centered life, has some suggestions for us on how we might simplify things. And that's what these sections right here where it's empty is made for. So if you want to write some of these down, it might be helpful to you. I don't know. First of all, he says, in order to make life more simple, buy things for their usefulness rather than their status. Secondly, he writes, reject anything that's producing an addiction in you. Thirdly, develop a habit of giving things away. Fourth, refuse to be propagandized by the custodians of modern gadgetry. Guilty. Fifth, learn to enjoy things without owning them. That's really interesting to me. Learn to enjoy things without owning them. Six, develop a deeper appreciation for creation. Seven, look at a healthy skepticism at all buy now, pay later schemes. Okay, with the exception of my mortgage, I have learned to do this, right? I don't know that there's any way out of that box. And you know why they call it a mortgage, right? It's a mort gauge, a measurement of death. Eight, obey Jesus' instruction about plain, honest speech. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Ninth, reject anything that will breed the oppression of others. This takes some thought, but it's well worth doing. Tenth, shun whatever would distract you from your main goal. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Now, those are some practical examples. That's a good start. Those are all good advice as we share with this young couple who have a three-week-old baby, right? But what comes next? How do we cut loose from our burdens? People are created, I believe, to be giant donuts. I know some of you heard my giant donut theory, and somewhere in here is a doctoral thesis. I just know it, right? You and I were created to be giant donuts. We're all the same. Some of us are plain. Some of you are chocolate covered. Some of you have white frosting, right? But every single one of us has a hole in the middle. It will never be filled until we find that unity with God, that presence of Christ, that essence of the holy, and make it again part of our souls. Old patterns fall back into our old ways unless we look for that which completes our creation, Christ our Lord. Now, God made us this way so that we'll keep looking, we'll keep stretching, we'll keep searching to the end of days until we realize that God is what we're missing, and God is what we place in our hearts, and God is the one who guides us, and God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is what enriches us and fills us and enables us to change our patterns of behavior. Because we'll keep taking up our worries and anxieties as long as our patterns are the same. It's the nature of things. It's the nature of us. I love to tell the story of the fifth grade teacher who decided that she would use listening as a process with her children in the fifth grade. Now, 5 minutes of silence is tough for us adults to master. Can you imagine the hue and cry if we had 5 minutes of quiet here at the church in worship? Oh, what's the sound not working? Is the organ broken? Is Steve forgetting something? Well, that might actually happen. Every morning for 5 minutes, she required them to be completely silent. And she discovered a great deal of good came from this experience of silence. After one of these quiet times, she asked the students if they'd heard anything, and one student replied, "Yes, I heard something say that I should be more obedient to my parents." Another said, "I heard something say that I should always be fair. When you're tagged and nobody sees it, you're still out." And another child spoke in simpler terms about needing to be able to take responsibility for her mistakes, to share her sorrows and worries with others, and to move forward with her relationships. There is no substitute for listening. And the world sometimes is so noisy we cannot hear what God would say to us. And isn't it remarkable that the word listen and the word silent have exactly the same letters in it? That's how important it is to us today. Richard Exley, an author, writes, "Today's person is in constant danger of becoming enslaved by the very things that were supposed to make our life more convenient. Laptop computers, email, smartphones, and social media threaten to take us hostage. No matter where we go, our work goes with us. In truth, our time and our life is not our own." I shared with you a few months ago that this little buddy was going in the bathroom to charge overnight. It was no longer to rest on my bedstand. And it's worked some magic being that far away. An alarm clock costs $8. You and I, don't need to be looking at this at all hours at night, right? The message was wait until the morning. Now, you may not have this addiction, but I know that it's kind of a pain in the neck. How do we free ourselves to live lives obedient to God and not subservient to everything else? The ever-encroaching demands of our work, our responsibilities are enough to occupy every waking moment. And so things like volunteering at church, participating in worship, outside leadership opportunities, not to mention our family responsibilities, come to fall by the wayside because we have trouble prioritizing that God would be in our hearts and our lives, filling that empty spot like the donut hole that we have inside of each one of us. We need to be emotionally and physically present for our spouses. We need to take care of the yard, the laundry, the business, the service, the cards. We need to go grocery shopping, balance the checkbook, and then we need to, well, you get the point, don't you? It's too much. Somewhere in our hectic schedules, we still must find to build lasting friendships, to maintain quality devotional life, to take time to read for personal and spiritual development, time to exercise. And no wonder people are tempted just to throw up their hands and go, it's too much. Interestingly, a key to changing this is surprisingly simple. The key, according to Scripture, is surrender. Not defeat, but surrender. Surrendering our lives to the presence of God. Surrendering our lives to the compassion of Christ. Surrendering our lives to the values of love and faith and hope that have stood the test of time. Surrendering our fears to the Lord to reshape our priorities, to change our perspectives, to take up our burdens, and to move us away from our compulsions. And it starts with listening. And it starts in silence. And it starts by inviting God into our heart to change our perspectives. For God's burden is easy. His yoke is easy. And his burden is light. What we come to understand is that in living this way, in allowing Christ to give himself to our lives can begin to change. We can see things from a different perspective, finally giving God God's due as the creator of something very special. Life takes on a different meaning when we allow Christ into it. And that's the difference that faith can make. Not faith in ourselves, not faith in our strengths, not faith in our abilities. We could worry something to death and it wouldn't change any of these things. And at some point in time, our abilities and our strengths will fail. But faith in Christ, in his strengths, in his perspectives, in his motives, which will never fail us, but often send us in a different direction than the world would have us go. The Savior says, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. He will not force himself upon you. And you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Today I am declaring with the Gospel of Matthew that I am inwardly fashioned for faith and not fear. Oh, I'll visit from time to time. I'm quite sure of that. But fear is not my native land. Faith is my native land. And I am so made that worry and anxiety are the sand and the gears of life, and that faith is the oil. I live better by faith and confidence than by fear any day, better than that by doubt and anxiety. Because in anxiety and worry, my being is gasping for air. That's not my native air. In faith and confidence, I breathe freely because these are my native air. As we are inwardly constructed in nerve and sinew, brain, cell, and soul for faith and not fear. And it makes me ask myself, why do I spend so much time worrying? Living by fear is against our very nature. And yet that's the way the world wants us to live. Living by faith is with our very nature. And that's what our Lord Jesus Christ calls us to change our perspectives, to move us by heart and head and value to a place where we live in faith, washed by God's grace, humbled and made new again. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, may it be so for you in the days and weeks to come through Jesus Christ. Amen. Please rise with me and sing our closing hymn, "You Are Mine." Remember that we have lunch with the pastor next week. If you'd like to participate, there's contact information in there. And our leadership and visioning retreat is Saturday. Bill Good and Bonnie Strand and I will be leading that retreat. And if you're an elected leader, you're certainly invited to call the church office and let us know you're coming, because we're going to have lunch. We want to have enough food for you as well. May the grace and peace of Jesus Christ be with you in all of your observances and celebrations, and may we find a way this week to turn loose to some of our anxieties, some of our worries, for we are made for faith and not for fear. Go in grace and peace in Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, if you have enough time to worry, you have enough time to pray. Thank you.
Baby, that'll be right in.